was Martin Luther, the reformer, who in his most famous hymn, Mighty Fortress, said, Lord Sabaoth is his name. Not Sabbath, but Sabaoth. And that means the Lord of a heavenly army. And we know he has a heavenly army, the angels. But Jesus has, God has an earthly army. So I've entitled today's message, God's Army of Sheep. God's army is made up of sheep. There's a quote attributed to the great king, conqueror Alexander the Great of 300 BC. He became a king at 20, died at 32, conquered all of Persia, delivered Egypt from the bondage of Persia, and he rarely lost a battle. Alexander the Great. And there's a quote that is often attributed to Alexander the Great, and it goes like this. I am not afraid of an army of lions. And he had to face many armies of lions. I am not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I am afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. Now, many kings and many generals have been called lions. Julius Caesar was called a lion. King Leonidas of Sparta was called a lion. Richard the Lionheart, okay? Saladin the Muslim, who fought the Crusaders, he was designated as a lion. Our own George Washington was called a lion. Frederick the Great of Prussia, Winston Churchill, why, even Hitler and Stalin, though mostly propaganda, were called lions. There was a pastor, Samuel Davis, in 1775, who spoke of George Washington. He said, our leader, Washington, has the heart of a lion, and by his presence, the raw militia are inspired. Voltaire wrote about Frederick the Great of Prussia, he is a lion at the head of rabbits. Right? Not sheep, but rabbits. The historian Cousin described Alexander the Great as a lion among sheep. Courage made his troops fight above their normal ability. The historian Plutarch said of Alexander, he is lion-like in bravery. He said of Julius Caesar, he is lion-like commander. His mere presence has changed the morale of his men. You know, even the bravest of soldiers, however, if they served under Washington or Caesar, the bravest of soldiers often feared. Audie Murphy, most decorated soldier of World War II, all 5'5" and 110 pounds of him, was decorated with over 30 medals from many countries. He struggled with fear, going into battle and in battle. He writes, walking down the road through the forest, if the Germans want to shoot me, let them. I'm too weak from fear and exhaustion to care. He wrote, as we marched forward, fear marched with us. He says, I always felt a wave of panic rise in my belly. And after the war, he suffered from nightmares, insomnia, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. One of the bravest soldiers of World War II. It is said of George Washington, as he fought the British, he was a lion among sheep. But George Washington's soldiers weren't always lion-like. George Washington himself said, "The militia are exceedingly timid and impatient of restraint. The want or the need of confidence often causes shameful and scandalous desertions among the troops. Such a panic struck our troops that they could not be prevailed upon to stand still." One of Washington's generals, General Nathanael Greene, said, "The troops are raw and undisciplined, full of fear when opposed by the enemy." You know, soldiers like to parade. They got the flags waving, the drums, the trumpets are playing, the uniforms are freshly starched, ironed. Wow, it's exciting. Thrilling. But once they get into battle, things change. There was a private under Washington named Joseph Plum Martin. He wrote, "We were afraid. Yes, afraid, for we were but boys and had never seen battle." I don't know if you ever read All Quiet on the Western Front or saw the movie. There are like three different versions of it. In Germany, this is during World War One began, the students were so excited that they were called to be soldiers. And they loved their marching, and they were shouting with victory. And then when they entered battle, it was different. Their friends were blown apart, and they just wanted to come home. It was General Eisenhower who said, "Of all the peoples, the soldier who wants peace the most." Yes, we are afraid. We're but boys. We've never been in battle. Another one of Washington's soldiers said, "The noise of the enemy's cannon struck terror through many of our men." General Eisenhower was considered a lion. And he sent many, many soldiers to their deaths. He had to, at D-Day especially. And one of Eisenhower's soldiers wrote, "I won't tell you where I'm going," back to his wife or girlfriend, "but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't scared." "We are all afraid," writes another. "I've never been so afraid in all my life," writes another soldier. Correspondent on the front line said, "Every man I saw was scared. Some controlled it better than others, but none were fearless." None were fearless. An army chaplain said, "I have prayed with men shaking so badly they could not hold their rifles." Yes, even the best of soldiers face fear and terror. Not in the parade, not so much in boot camp. That's where they learn to suffer. The Apostle Paul says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And that hardness begins at boot camp. But it's nothing compared to the actual battle. I have a list of sayings here from World War II officers before they went into battle and in battle. "We are all afraid. I've never known fear like this. I tremble constantly. We expect death at any moment. Fear sits in my stomach like a block of ice. Terror is beyond words. Many of us shake uncontrollably. Fear has become our constant companion." And one said, "We are driven into attacks like sheep to the slaughter." Can we be fearless? Is it possible? The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not." Then don't fear. Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Fear not them who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, without him noticing it or caring. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So twice in this little discourse, Jesus said, do not fear. To Abram, he said, I am your shield. I am with you. Don't fear. To Jacob, fear not to go down to Egypt, for I myself will go with you. To the Israelites, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or to be in a dread of them. To Joshua, God said, do not fear. Joshua turned to the Israelites a bit later and said, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Be strong and courageous. There are many commands in the Bible not to fear. That speaks of fearlessness. Do not fear. John Flavel said, the fear of God cures the fear of man, as a greater fire puts out a lesser fire. John Chrysostom in the 4th century says, nothing is more fearless than a righteous man. He who fears God fears nothing else. In my study, I seem to come across many who believe in fearlessness. But it's controversial. There are those that say we can't be fearless. We have to fear. It's natural. It is natural to fear. But it's supernatural to have God's grace and spirit in you. So yes, the soldiers of Washington and Eisenhower, they were inspired, they were encouraged, they even had increased morale. But they never became fearless lions themselves. We think because fear is natural that we have to be stuck in it. But it's not a good feeling to fear, is it? Not just death that people fear. When I was in college, my senior year, I had nightmares that I would never get out of college. There I was, picturing myself 35, 40 years old in my dreams, still trying to study, pass the course to get out. Fear many things. Fear poverty, fear sickness, fear rejection, fear loneliness. In history, there were many believers who were fearless. Ignatius of Antioch in 68 AD was to be fed to the wild lions. He said, I am not afraid of your visible powers. I am God's wheat, ground by the teeth of beasts, that I may be found pure bread. Polycarp of Smyrna in the 2nd century, it said of him, he stood fearless, as one who had already been crowned in heaven. Hannah Whitehall Smith, it's not just men, who was part of the holiness movement, the Keswick movement. Perfect trust produced perfect peace and freedom from fear, it was said of her. Belinda of Lyons in one, L-Y-O-N-S, Lyons, France, 177 AD. It was said of her, she was filled with such power that those who took turns torturing her confessed they were exhausted, while she herself remained fearless and unbroken. Perpetua, young woman from a wealthy family, became a Christian. In 203 AD, she was put to death. She was sent into a Colosseum where she would be mauled and gored by a wild bull. She said, I will go to the beast with joy and without fear. Felix of Nola, 3rd century, said of him, fear had no place in him, for Christ had taken possession of his soul. During the English Reformation, there were many Protestants, evangelicals burned. One was William Hunter. He famously told his brother, I do not fear. And as he went to the pole to be burned, he was singing psalms, certainly without fear. Just picture in your mind the first Christian martyr, Stephen. He's dragged out of the city. The Jews didn't like his preaching. And they began to stone him. And he lifted up his eyes toward heaven. And there he saw Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. His last words were, "Father, lay not this into their charge." If you read that account in Acts chapter 7, you'll see a man who did not fear. But being fearless does not mean that one does not ever fear. This is not perfect fearlessness. One example is Peter walking on the water to Christ. You see, faith cancels out fear. The more faith we have, the less fear we'll have. Fear of man, fear of sickness, fear of getting old, fear of death. When Peter stepped out of that boat, because Jesus invited him to, he walked without fear, doing exactly as Jesus was doing, no less, until he looked, saw the waves. Then the Bible says he began to fear. He didn't step out in fear and then fear it again. No. Faith canceled out that fear until he took his eyes off Jesus. That's when fear begins to grab hold of us, if we're not looking to Jesus. Thomas Watson said, "God puts a lion's heart into the believer." And that's what makes the difference between our commander-in-chief, Jesus, who is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, makes him much greater than all the generals combined, all the kings. Alexander the Great would love to have been able to put a lion's heart in his troops. He could just encourage them, pacify them. God puts a lion's heart into the believer. Christ is the Lion of Judah, and where he leads the weakest sheep, they become valiant. The weakest sheep. You could be the weakest Christian and yet be a roaring lion. Charles Finney said, "The true Christian cannot be timid. If he fears man, he cannot fear God aright, nor do God's work for souls." A.W. Tozer: "The fear of God is the death of every other fear." Of every other fear. Like a mighty lion, it chases all other fears before it. The fear of God chases away the other fear. You know, David was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. A young man of faith, courage. Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote about David: "David is a lion in war, fierce as a lion in battle." The Puritans called David the Lion King. As a lion in courage, yet meek in heart, he was a lion among sheep. And that was very true when Goliath came on the scene. King Saul and the others were cowering. They wouldn't dare try to win over such a beast as Goliath. But David went into that valley with faith. And that faith canceled out his fear. "The Lord is on my side," he said. "I will not fear what man can do to me. No matter how big or how strong, I will not fear." Yes, David was a lion in courage, yet meek in heart. In David, a lion's heart was joined with a saint's fear of God. In Psalm 23:4, that beautiful psalm: "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear some evil. I will fear a little evil." No, I will fear no evil. No evil. "I will fear no evil as I'm dying, for thou art with me." That's the reason, not because of his abilities, but because God was with him and he put his faith in that. But thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Alexander the Great could only imagine something like David in his army, full of faith, full of courage, unstoppable. You couldn't stop David. King Saul tried to stop him, his brothers tried to stop him, couldn't stop him. We can be unstoppable in courage. We read in 1 Samuel 17 about David and Goliath. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine, slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, that's Goliath's sword, slew him, killed him twice just to make sure, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. No one's ever seen a flock of sheep chasing down a pack of wolves. It just doesn't happen. It's not natural. Sheep are naturally the most timid of all creatures. That's why the Bible calls us sheep. It's not a flattering designation, but we are sheep. When the Philistines, who were the wolves, saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel, of Judah, arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Those who were the sheep, the Israelites, now became the lions because of David's faith, because of the victory that God gave him. That's much better than Alexander the Great could ever imagine. Here we have young David, courageous as a lion, turning the cowardly sheep, which is God through David, of course, into roaring lions. It's now a flock of sheep are chasing a pack of wolves. And that's what God does to those who trust him and grow in trust, grow in faith. Jesus said, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink. Not be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. Your Father, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, if I fear, you may say, does that mean I'm not a Christian? No, of course not. You don't become a Christian by starting not to fear anything. You become a Christian by faith in Christ and his shed blood and repentance of sin. Does it mean that I'm not a Christian if I fear? No, it means you're a Christian who still fears. You're not letting the peace of God rule in your hearts fully. And Paul says, allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. When Christ and his peace rule in your hearts, fear becomes the throne. You know, I only know of one general, one king, who would gladly lead a flock of sheep into battle, and that is Jesus Christ, because he changes them. The wicked flee, says Solomon, when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And it's through Christ's righteousness that we become righteous. He imputes his righteousness to us. He works his righteousness within us. And the righteousness become bold as a lion. So it's a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, leading sheep who've been transformed into lions. And not only that, he gives us wings. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of angels. Naturally, sheep don't have a lion heart. Naturally, sheep don't have wings. They don't have claws. They don't have big teeth. They don't have any armor. But put on the armor of God, said the Apostle Paul. So we have wings. We have a lion's heart. And we have the armor of Jesus Christ himself. He imputes his righteousness to us. His righteousness indwells in us. He is the Prince of Peace, Jesus. He's the giver of peace. Something Alexander the Great could not do. No general, no chaplain could go up to a soldier who's trembling, afraid to fight, and just give him peace. Unless the Prince of Peace is called into play. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Again, another command not to fear, based upon the gift of his peace. Yesterday I shared with the elderly people at the assisted living home from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, where the angel came to the shepherds. And again, they were afraid. They said, "Fear not. We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Where is that peace on earth? There's strife in families, strife in churches, strife between countries, strife between religions. Where is that peace? Well, they misunderstand what the angel said. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The goodwill of God is giving us Jesus. That is his goodwill. He can do nothing better than that. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We have a loving, giving God. Peace on earth. Jesus himself said, "I don't think that I have come to bring peace, but a sword to set people against each other, the sword of truth, mother against daughter, son against father, the sword of truth. Don't think that I've come to bring peace on this earth." And so if the angel meant this newborn baby is going to bring peace on the earth, it contradicts what Jesus said about himself. No, the peace is peace with God. See, we have peace with God through faith, says the Apostle Paul. We have peace with God. And when we walk by faith, we can have peace in the family, peace in the church. But you have to walk by faith, which the nations aren't doing right now. And someday when Christ returns, there will be peace. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Wasn't just a good sentiment. Wasn't just a prayer. It was his reality. As it was Daniel in the lion's den, he had peace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fiery furnace, they had peace. If Daniel didn't have peace, he would never open his window up toward Jerusalem and pray. He had peace. Matthew Henry said, "The believer may feel the valley of the shadow of death, yet not fear evil in it, because God is with him. As David said, thy staff, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Yes, it's natural to fear, and I've experienced fear many times, and it's not something to be enjoyed, even the slightest fear. Remember some years ago I had a pickup truck with a plow on it, and I was picking up in a snowstorm some employees for the Christian Fellowship House, assisted living. and I wasn't really as careful as I should. It was snowing heavily, and I hit the brakes kind of late, and I hit the car in front of me with my snowplow and pushed him into the car in front of him, and then that car smashed into the car in front of him. And I feared. I feared lawsuit. I feared having to pay damages. Fortunately, no one had a scratch. How'd that happen? Richard Sipes says, faith overcomes fear. What are you fearing? The doctor's bad report? You don't have to fear that. You don't have to fear. Faith overcomes fear. So you have to work on faith by praying, as the disciples did. Lord, increase our faith in studying the Word of God diligently. Put your head in the book and don't come out. Go in the prayer closet, don't come out. Till you know you've got this supernatural courage, this peace of God that rules in your heart. Faith overcomes fear, not by denying the danger. Well, that's just plain stupidity. But by trusting the promise. The promises of God. That's how we overcome fear. But first you have to stand up for Jesus. You have to put that faith in him and repent of your sins. And then you enter into this beautiful covenant. He will be with you through all the worst times. Heavenly Father, what can we say to such a gift? Especially during this Christmas season. The wages of sin, our sin, my sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, you have given us the best gift ever. And in that gift is courage. In that gift is fearlessness. And we may fear, Lord, and we'll say with David, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Because that trust removes the fear. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us now. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Till we meet again. God bless you.